This is Pat Tomlinson, and I'm talking with Eric Larson. Eric is the Ag Spectrum District Sales Manager in Indiana. He and his family reside in central Indiana in Tipton County. Eric joined Ag Spectrum in the spring of 2020, so he's been in the District Sales Manager role for just over 3 years now. Eric, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Pat?
Well, as far as I know, I'm okay, too. Tell me, Eric, how does the crop look in Indiana as we wind up the growing season and enter that countdown until harvest period?
Actually, crops around here in central Indiana and as you move north and south, they look really pretty good. Had some struggles early on with a minor drought, lasted a few weeks. But since then, I'd say about early June, mid-June, we started getting rain every week, and that's kind of been the pattern for the rest of the summer. So the corn crop looks really good. Soybeans was the one I was kind of scratching my head about earlier, but they've really come on. We're nowhere near harvest yet. I think we're delayed a little bit, but all in all, things really look good. The wheat harvest come in well. I was hearing yields anywhere in the from the 110 to 120 bushel range. We're hoping that is a precursor of what's to come with our corn and soybean harvest.
I hope that turns out to be the case and the corn and bean crops also do well. Eric, what I wanted to do today was to review one of the basic aspects of the maximum farming system that relates to some of the questions that growers may have. Hopefully it can be helpful to our associates both in explaining the system to those who are just learning about the MFS, but also in working with existing clients as they evaluate their own harvest results from this year and start to make plans for next year. The topic I wanted to talk with you about today is potassium. We know potassium is not only an essential nutrient, but it's also one of the macronutrients, the big three of N, P, and K that get a lot of focus in the ag fertility industry. If we start out from sort of a 30,000 foot level, how do we assess the crop's need for potassium in the maximum farming system, and how does the system address that need?
When we first look at the soil test, the first thing we have to evaluate is there enough base saturation of potassium in the soil? Do we need to supplement that with any sort of dry fertilizer application? Or can its needs be met through banding beside the row with the nitrogen with the planter? And when we look at those needs, really anything that would be recommended for dry spread under 60 pounds can be handled through supplemental K on the planter and the band. If we get over 60 pounds up towards 100, there might be a need for a little dry application. But we find that about 70% of our recommendations do not require the amendment of dry spread potassium. Only in very few instances is that base saturation low enough that we need to supplement. So we can jumpstart the soil processes through the planter with a liquid application.
As you said, we will recommend dry potassium applications if a significant boost to the soil with regard to K is needed. But when the amount required to get to that optimal K range is less than the 60 pound per acre rate, we go with the banding approach, adding potassium to the nitrogen band on the planter. How would you characterize the advantage of a banded planter application?
What we're trying to do with the band is, first and foremost, give each and every plant equal opportunity and access to nutrition. As farmers begin to plant earlier and earlier in the season, sometimes the ground temperatures are a little bit cooler, and really the biological activity that's responsible for converting mineral potassium into a nutrient form really doesn't get that active till the ground temperature gets over 60 degrees. So if we're planting when the ground temperature is 50, 52, 54, in that time frame, that biological activity is not working as hard as it would if it was warmer. So we can help supplement that need for potassium through that time frame by putting it in the band beside the row and allowing those plants the opportunity to receive that nutrition when they need it, because early potassium is important for plant growth, and that allows the soil time and the microbial activity in the soil time for the temperatures to get where they need to be in order for those to go to work on that mineral potassium and get that converted to the nutrient form.
As you say, timing is really important, and we know that the grand growth stage, when the corn seems to jump from knee-high to over our heads in a very short time, is when the corn plant is really using a lot of K, and when even a high-testing soil may struggle to supply the plant available potassium that the plants need to support the rate of growth we sometimes see. Having that band of plant available K a few inches off the row can make a difference when it's needed. When we think about the conventional approach to potassium, not only is the contrast the broadcast application versus the right placement and timing for the plant's needs, but there's still a lot of folks with the mindset of replacing whatever the crop used, and if it's more than they need, what the heck, it's extra nutrient in the soil, and it's just like money in the bank. Now, that attitude probably doesn't get you to the most cost-efficient approach to corn production, but are there any actual negative impacts to building potassium in the soil above the optimal range?
Yes, actually, it can have long-term negative effects if we get too high or if we're over-applying K in our soil. And the number one problem that we see is compaction. When you stop and talk with growers about high levels of K causing compaction, it's not really something that they think about, and definitely not something that they commonly hear about out in the marketplace. But if we stop and think about some of the uses of K besides being spread on a field for your crop, potassium has been long utilized to stabilize pavement. It's used in the foundation of buildings to harden them and help them not seep water, keep them as watertight as possible. Even back in the old days, potassium was added to dirt and then mixed with water to make mud walls inside of buildings, because the potassium would seal the dirt and the mud walls and make them hard. So when we look at what that does out in your field, one of the first things a grower may notice is surface sealing, where the water just cannot permeate the surface of the soil. It runs off and goes into the ditch instead of down into the root zone. That compaction, that sealing of the soil definitely is detrimental to the crop. But besides that, it can also cause a loss in your CECs, or your cation exchange capacity. You're plugging up your bucket, your CECs, with an overabundance of potassium, and that's less room you've got for other vital nutrients. So too much of a good thing can be a bad thing.
Well, that's a statement that could probably apply to a lot of things, but to stick with the potassium topic, what are some of the questions that you and your dealers have been getting through this season, and what are some of the questions you expect to have to deal with from your existing clients as they start to think about next year?
To start with, some of the questions that we've already received, and this is probably common across most of the Corn Belt, early on, May, early June, we got a lot of questions about potassium deficiency syndromes showing up in fields, in soybean fields, some in some corn fields. You go back and look at the soil tests, and there was no real correlation. If all the soil tests were acceptable, if they were over 2% base saturation, we knew that we had what we needed, in the soil to get things started. And we were seeing even high testing soils for potassium showing deficiency. So what we had to stop and think about is, what's Mother Nature been handing us? And it was extremely dry here in central Indiana for 6 to 8 weeks. So there was no movement of potassium in the subsoil, nor was there much movement of anything in the subsoil during that time frame. So the roots weren't getting the water supply that they were needing. It was more of an uptake issue than it was a deficiency issue in the soil. Boy, I tell you, about a day and a half after the rain started, those symptoms subsided quickly. We came back in with some of our growers with their foliar application, that shot of rain that they were getting once a week, and boy, things really turned around in a hurry, and by the end of July, you didn't hear anybody talking about potassium deficiency. So our weather pattern was to blame for the symptoms that we were seeing, and it wasn't an issue of there not being enough K in the soil.
What kind of questions do you see coming as we look forward?
But future questions that'll be coming, and they come every year, is, okay, harvest is over. What do we do about returns? We've taken off our crop. We know the crop has taken up some of the potassium that's in the soil. We got to replenish that. I think growers need to think about what has actually been taken out of the field. You know, a 200 bushel corn crop in Indiana or Illinois or anywhere does take up about 400 to 500 pounds of potassium to produce that crop. But when we stop and think, well, what's taken out of the field? And on that 200 bushel crop, there's only 46 pounds of K per acre that's removed from the field, and that's in the form of the grain. The rest of the plant stays in the field. The potassium that it's taken up to build its architecture is exuded back through the roots, and it's returned to the soil. So it's correct when people say, well, you're using up 500 pounds of potassium to produce that corn crop. You're really only losing 46 in the form of the grain that's hauled away. So to come back in and say, well, we better spread, you know, 200 or 300 pounds to help make up for some of what we've lost, we're way over applying, and then we're getting back into the issues that we just talked about with long-term effects of over-applying potassium. So those are probably two of the hottest topics so far this year, the early with the deficiency syndrome, the late with the replacement spreading.
Well, thinking ahead and planning for those questions we expect can make a big difference in how effective we'll be with our responses. I think the key points that I get from your comments are, remember that deficiency symptoms mean the plant didn't get the K it wanted. It doesn't necessarily mean that the soil is deficient in K. Moisture is needed for K to move to the plant roots for uptake and to move into the plant. So when K deficiency symptoms disappear after a rain, it strongly indicates that the problem was lack of moisture and not lack of soil potassium. The other thing that sticks out with me is the efficiency and value of the timing and placement that row banding provides, and also the importance of being in that optimal zone for base saturation of potassium and the problems that can result from being on either side of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is an optimum level for each and every nutrient in our soil structure.
Well, as we think about wrapping up, Eric, is there any other aspect of potassium management that you'd like to add that might be helpful for our dealers to remember?
And I might leave it with one other point to what we were just speaking about with the returns and with the replacement of K. We really like growers to remember that there's more potassium under their feet when they're standing out in a field than they're going to use in a lifetime or longer. Keep in mind, there's three pools, and our soil tests only show us one, which is the exchangeable pool that's ready to be taken up. We've also got the clay fixed pool in the soil, and we've got the mineral K pool in the soil. So any given soil in Indiana or Illinois can have anywhere from 20 to 45,000 pounds of K per acre. So When we think about the questions that come out this year with the deficiency syndromes or with the replacement, understand the bank account for potassium is pretty large to begin with. What we need to focus on is tapping into that bank account and not necessarily just keep adding to it.
Well, that is a great thought to wrap up with, that for the vast majority of our soils, it's not about how much potassium is in the soil. It's about fostering the soil health and air and water management and other soil characteristics that help the K that's there become more available to the crop. Well, thank you again for taking the time to talk with me, Eric. You've hit on some great points that I think will be helpful to our dealers. I hope the rest of your day is good and that you have a safe harvest season.
All right. Thanks so much, Pat. Enjoyed being with you this morning.